Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
This is Our Shepherd's View. Welcome to this program. My name is Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We will hear the Gospel of Matthew today that has a message that I think is a timeless one and something all of us need. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest."
Yes, what a tender invitation. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter how sophisticated we are, no matter how up in the chain, how high up in the chain right. of social identity we mm-hmm. are, or a church identity, you know, or how many degrees we have on our walls. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always think better of ourselves right. than the reality is. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that we all need that tender touch of God in our life. And Pope Francis has brought that out so beautifully, speaking of God as tenderness. And so this gospel of Jesus inviting us into his life and allowing him to put his arms around us, whoever we are, is a great gift.
We'll hear that gospel now.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to mere children. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel seems to have three sections to it, or three parts to it.
Right. Three paragraphs, you might say, three sections, three pretty specific ideas here.
In the first part, Jesus praises the Father and speaks of how he has kept things hidden from the wise and the learned, but he reveals them to the little ones. What do you think he means by this, Bishop?
Well, first of all, I think put the whole thing in context. We're in the middle of Matthew's gospel, so we've had the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. We've, you know, had different challenges to Jesus's actions, forgiving sin and so many things. And so, I mean, the cards are stacked. But obviously Jesus had people who understood that because people were following him. He had called his disciples, his apostles together, and others were following. And so now he's in a moment of prayer. I think, as you rightly said, one thing to notice here is that it's a moment of prayer. I mean, Jesus is calling to his Father, "I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the learned and the wise, you revealed them to mere children." So the little ones, we would say in other translations, to children, the little ones are obviously not babies, you know, in arms. They're the simple of heart, the pure of heart, one of the Beatitudes. Only the pure of heart will see God. We could say also the pure of heart will understand the Lord. Basically, I would say that he's speaking against those who rejected him at the time and even today, or think they know everything but have no faith. It's always a matter of faith. It's really that faith is what reveals Christ to us. And in order to have faith, which means trust in another, trust in God, we have to be simple. There's no two ways about it. I mean, somebody can be the greatest mind, even in the theological world, and be able to write incredible books about God, about all the mysteries of our faith. But if they don't have faith, and they don't have love, I mean, it may be intellectually a wonderful challenge, but it has to be faith, you know, based on faith. That's why the great theologians really of the church were men of faith, women of faith even, love, and had great hope. It's interesting, the other day I was talking to, I was at the bishop's meeting in Seattle, and I was sitting with one of my classmates, and we were talking about a professor we had. It was a Dominican priest, Father Kearns, was an Irish Dominican. He taught at the Angelicum, and he taught us a course on St. Paul. And at the end, very, very last thing that he said to us as the course ended, he said, and he was a quite elderly man, but a man of death. I mean, it was like we were both commenting, going to his class was like going to meditation. It was incredible, and yet tremendously theological and teaching us. And it was the class on Eucharist from St. Paul. And he said, "My brothers, if we no longer see each other here on earth, the Eucharist will be the cause of seeing each other in heaven." And my friend said to me, he says, "You know, I can't believe that you remember that." He said, "I thought I was the only one struck by that." And I said, "Oh, no." And he said, then he said, "I had a tear in my eye." And I said, "Well, now we can reveal to each other." I did too. That, I think, is what Jesus is saying here. You can be very learned, very intelligent, but without faith, without love, because love is the greatest that lasts, you really can't penetrate. You can articulate the mysteries of God, but you can't penetrate into the heart of God without that kind of faith. And so I think that's what he's really saying here, that there are those who, through cleverness and pride, can talk all about God up and down the street, et cetera, et cetera. But it's only the simple of heart and the humble of heart that can truly, truly penetrate into the mystery of God, whom we're all searching for. And we find that in Christ. I mean, here he is healing people, but he's all giving it back to the Father. I mean, he's the model of that to begin with. So the little ones that you're asking, to get back to your question, the little ones is not a derogatory term at all. It's those that are simple of heart, because Jesus said, "Unless you become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." And that's fact.
And that he keeps this from the wise and the learned.
Because their minds become a block, you know. I mean, you get so caught up in your thoughts, which are yours, and sometimes enlightened by God, obviously. But again, that comes from simplicity and faith. But if everything's the head, which I have pride in, then we never really enter into the kingdom of God in the sense we never penetrate into the mind and the heart of God.
That is a lot to reflect on. Now, the second section of today's gospel further explores the relationship between the Father and the Son. And Matthew's style of writing, according to scholars, is very similar to John's.
Well, let me read it again, since that's a very beautiful explanation, but so we tune back into what we're talking about here. Jesus says, "Yes, Father," continuing the prayer, "Yes, Father, such has been your will, your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him." So it's a great Christological statement. I mean, Jesus is basically saying who he is. It's like a statement of his divinity, that no one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Son except the Father. So there's this Trinitarian communion between them, and he's come to reveal that to us. John tells us the scene when Jesus says, "I must go and I will return, and in my Father's house there are many places for you." But Philip says, "Well, how do we know the way if you don't tell us the way? How are we going to get there? You know, what are the directions?" Jesus says to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever sees me sees the Father." There's this oneness, this this union of persons, distinct and yet one. And so Matthew can pick up on that from John's gospel and or from the same source, what was the Q source, and be able to make a similar statement in different words. So Jesus is really saying, if you want to know God, you come to him, to know him through me. Why is that? You know, we go back, let me put a parenthesis here, as we do these programs, you know, talking about all this, and really it's theological, spiritual, and exegesis of the scripture, but our faith's very simple. I mean, it's very profound, but we always have to go back to the basics. And so the basic here is to know God, we have to know Jesus. Why? Because Jesus in the incarnation, going back to our celebration at Christmas, the incarnation is the incarnate word, is the one who reveals the Father in word and action, is the visible presence of God on earth. So, you know, if you want to know what God's heart is like, look at Jesus and see what his heart was about. If you want to know what love is, look at Jesus, and God is love. And so Jesus is the incarnation of love. If we want to know what mercy is, because God is merciful, then we look at Jesus. He is the incarnation of mercy. If we want to know what forgiveness is, we look at Jesus, because he's the incarnation of God's forgiveness. And so Jesus reveals totally who God is. And so that's why Jesus is saying to us, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him, meaning that we need to have faith in Jesus Christ. We need to have a relationship with him on a day-to-day basis. We all confront things every day that are some pleasant, some not so pleasant, but it's our faith in him that really reveals to us God's love for us and for the world.
And by reading and reflecting on the Gospels, both daily and on Sundays, help us to do that.
It's our roadmap. It's not about just being a good person. It's about following him exclusively in those mandates, you might, because again, the tradition of our church, some of those little sayings, is that they're not just words, they're mandates. All the words of Jesus are mandates to us.
Our Shepherd's View. We'll be right back.
Each of us is called to holiness through baptism. Once we experience God in our hearts, we yearn to bring him closer. Deep prayer allows us to do that. Making a commitment to develop a deeper prayer life is a major step in that process. Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center invites us to experience a personal encounter with Jesus through a 3-day silent retreat to communicate with God in complete silence. This affords us the greatest opportunity to know him, his heart, and his will for each of us. Separate silent retreats for men and women are scheduled approximately every other month at Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center. For complete information and to sign up for the next silent retreat, visit deepprayer.org. Start your journey now at deepprayer.org.
The Helpers of God's Precious Infants celebrate a pro-life mass every third Saturday at 8 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church, 710 South 19th Street in Corpus Christi. The purpose of the Mass is to not only pray for the mortal souls of the 60 million lives that were not allowed to be lived and those who have otherwise been affected by abortion, but to seek God's forgiveness and help in changing hearts and minds. Following Mass, you're invited to join the faithful in praying the Rosary in the Blessed Sacrament Chapel at St. Joseph's. Brunch and fellowship will conclude the morning's events. For more information, please call 361-960-6050.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View on this 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We are discussing the Gospel of Matthew. Now, we've talked about the first two sections of the Gospel, and we heard of how Jesus is praying to the Father. Now we reflect on the third part, where it sounds like Jesus is offering us an invitation.
Yes, a very hearty invitation to us, and one that if we're not really open to it, it may seem like I don't want to go there. And so let's, again, read that section. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." Now, it's an invitation to really bring our life to Christ. You know, I think we ourselves or maybe our parents have plans for us. But we need to ask ourselves, what does he expect of us? What does he want of us? And certainly not at all imposing himself on us, but inviting us to come to him. And what we first do in coming to him is to learn from him. I think, you know, that's why it's so important to spend time with these parts of the gospel, to not just take them with surface value of the words, but what are the words saying to us? He's inviting us to come to himself. That coming will involve labor, and it will involve some burdens. But he first of all shows us himself. He points to himself first. Learn from me. Learn from me. What do we learn from him? We can go back to Isaiah and the suffering servants, because we see those as really prophecies of who Jesus is. We call them the prophecies of the suffering servant. And so it was not a pretty picture. I mean, one who would be ridden with all sorts of burdens and laughing and people laughing at him and taking. So it's not an easy, it almost would be repulsive. Say, why would anyone want to take that on themselves? But the important thing is the yoke. I think a key to understanding this invitation and learning from Jesus is the notion of the yoke. The yoke, of course, is that wooden piece that was fitted, that is fitted or was fitted on the back, the shoulders of the oxen. Interestingly, in the last line there where it says, "My yoke is easy," the word easy in reference to the yoke meant well-fitting. If you take the Greek word, it means it's well-fit. It's and so the yoke, the oxen were brought to the carpenters. And of course, remember, Jesus was a carpenter. So they were brought to the carpenter, and the carpenter measured the back, did all the dimensions, and created the yoke for the specific oxen. You couldn't take one oxen's yoke without refitting it to the other. It was tailor-made for each person. That's very important, because when Jesus is inviting us to come to him and take up his yoke, it's the yoke of life. It's our own yoke as well. And it is form fit for us, which means it's God's will for us. And so when Jesus is pointing to himself, he's saying, you know, and throughout, especially John's gospel, he speaks of, "My food is to do the will of the Father. The Father has sent me and to do his will. His bread is to do the will of the Father." And so Jesus was really totally found himself, his own self-identity in the will of God. And so the yoke here is really the will that God has given, the direction through God's will, his own will for our life. And so to constantly live life rejecting what is our fate does not bring us to a self-knowledge at all, first of all, on a human level, but also the destiny of our life. Our life is what God gives us, and it is destined toward eternal life. Once we, as we spoke of the Eucharist last Sunday, once we cut off the dimension of eternal life from us, we will not understand what God has given us. We will not understand the yoke, the life that God has given to us. Our life is a gift from God, and it leads us to eternal life. The burden of that yoke is light because it is carried with love. I as a priest, as a bishop now, I mean, I can give all the homilies I want. But what really touches me is to see people's lives that are burdened from a physical point of view, an emotional point of view, but those that carry it with such dignity, with such love, people who have been in major accidents, And from a human perspective, people would say their life's over. But to go and meet these people who have faith, who have love, who don't see it as a curse for God, but it's somehow it has become, through the situation, it is the life that God has given them, and they make the best of it. They do it out of love, and they do it out of faith. That's a walking homily. That's a walking sermon. And that's what Jesus is saying in the first one, unless you are a little one with simplicity and humility, you won't notice that. You won't see that because these people carry that yoke form-fit because of the circumstances. Certainly God doesn't will accidents or tragedies in our life, right. But they happen. It's part of life. But to see people carry it with such grace and love, that's a walking homily. There's that song that we've heard so often, He Ain't Heavy Because He's My Brother. Carrying that yoke or carrying the burden of another one or a spouse who may be caring for an ill husband or wife, you know, they carry that person together because it's out of love. And so their yoke is different than anyone else's. But each of them are form fit and given to us through circumstances or through God's will directly to be carried with Christ.
It is also saying that Jesus' yoke is not going to take away the challenges and the difficulties that we face in our lives, but it will serve as a source of rest and comfort.
Right. It goes back to what we were talking about last week of the interior spirituality. It gives us our union with Him, helps us to give, or helps us. It is the source of our meaning for life, that everything is a self-sacrifice out of love. And once we make that statement of faith, we can pass to that article of faith that everything is love, then the heaviest burdens become light because they're transformed. It's like an alchemy. They're changed. The burden becomes light. And that's, again, only as if we understand the beauty of the cross, not as persecution, but as an act of love, can we really understand that same dynamic in our own life. I sometimes want to ask people, you know, when you look at a crucifix, what do you see? Suffering or do you see love? Transforming moment. Painful, fearful, suffering is all of a sudden changed. And that's what Jesus is saying in our, beautiful example of how bring our yoke to Him, He'll make it light because He carried it first.
And to continue to reflect on the image of the yoke, the Word became flesh to be our model of holiness. And where He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And then He goes on to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And we see how all of this is connected together in today's gospel.
Yeah, again, it's our faith is quite coherent. It's not a pick and choose. It's all coherent. And we can't really pick and choose. And so we see all of this, how it fits together, even in one gospel. And something I was just thinking of, too, is the saints, you know, what models, because Jesus, of course, is the saint, if you want to put it that way, the one, the way, the truth, and the life. And so we look to Him. But who are the saints except those who have followed that way, truth, and life in their own circumstance, in their own yoke? And so it's important that we stay in touch with the lives of the saints. My brother and I would, before going to bed every night, we shared a room. We were kids, and we'd read one life of the saint out loud. I did one night, and he would do the other. And you really begin to see the dynamic of life. They're different in every person, but the consistent golden thread is the life of Christ, lived and explained really through other people. St. Francis really explains self-denial and poverty. So if you want to know what Christ was talking about, you can look at and live. We can look at the life of St. Francis and see that. Or St. Teresa of Avila, who is the great doctor on prayer, see these moments of prayer in Jesus' life. And she has that explanation through her own life of really the depth and the meaning of prayer. So the saints are part of this as well, who took up their yoke and their burden, united to Christ, and show us the way too. So they're our big brothers and sisters.
That is beautiful. Again, it connects everything. And when we pray to the saints, It calls to mind the litany of saints and how they are all joined in their love for Christ and how faith is essential in our lives.
I guess if we were to put that little song in their lips, she ain't heavy, she's my sister. You know, they can carry our burdens with us and help us along the way too.
We remember that this connection that we're talking about today always points to the unity that we can experience in the truth that's at the center of each gospel and how we are all united as a family.
Right. I mean, it would be self-persecution to try to carry our burdens, because some, obviously, burdens are heavy at times, but we need an encouraging word and we need a community. And that's why we are a faith that is really based as a community, not just individuals.
Thank you, Bishop. As we close our program, we ask you for a prayer and a blessing.
Sure. Father, through the obedience of Jesus, your servant and your son, you raised a fallen world. Free us from sin and bring us the joy that lasts forever. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
At present, there are over 13,000 incarcerated individuals in jails, prisons, and various detention centers within the geographical boundaries of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. Ministering to these folks takes people with special talents and, quite often, a calling from God. Are you one of those special people? Prison and jail ministry volunteers are needed year-round, but especially during the summer months. If you would like to serve, or maybe at this point just get more information, please contact Heath Garcia in the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi office, 361-882-6191. It's time for the Incarnate Word Academy Golf Classic, Friday, August 4th, the Gabe Lozano Golf Center on Old Brownsville Road in Corpus Christi. This tournament benefits the Incarnate Word Academy athletic program. Events begin with a 7 a.m. registration, driving range, and breakfast. Tee off for the shotgun start is 8:30 a.m. Tournament format is Florida Scramble. Enjoy an after-tournament lunch, awards presentations, and prize pickup. To register early, visit iwacc.org/golfclassic. Sponsorship opportunities are available. For more information, call Athletic Director Kevin Steen, 512-653-4431.